Heavenly Father, I thank you that, Lord, in all things you are on your throne. Lord, nothing takes you by surprise. You know our hearts, you know our lives, you know our journey to this point. Lord, I pray this morning that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, that you will change our lives. Lord God, that you will speak your word deep into our good soil of our heart, that it may produce great fruit, so we may bring honor and glory to you. Lord, I pray this morning that you will speak through me, that I might become, Lord, all that I can be in you. Lord, let my voice be your voice. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll just continue your work. Amen. 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 So this morning, I just want to carry on a little bit from where I left off last week, because I didn't quite get finished. So if you're in small groups, take notes, and then you can talk about this in the week. But a few questions that I've posed throughout my sermon is, does it really matter what we say? Evidently, does it really matter? Well, I suppose it depends who you're talking to. But it really, does it really matter? Can we help what we say? I don't know about you, but I've heard many people say, it just came out. I can't help it. You know, do our words change anything? When we speak out, I'm talking generally, not specifically in a certain circle, but generally, do our words actually change anything? And does God listen to our words as we speak? Does God care about what we say? So there's just a few questions I'm going to try and maybe unpack as we go through. But really, does it matter what we say? Can we help what we say? Do our words actually change anything? Does God listen to our words? Does God really care about our words? It is interesting that many people who go before psychologists, counsellors, psychiatrists, people are, it's not always what's been physically done to them that's causing long-term problems. It's often what's been said to them or what they perceived has been said to them. Because often what is said is not often what's perceived. You see, we don't realize that we're living in a spiritual world because we're so in touch with the physical. But you don't realize that as I speak, I can speak the word of God and it can set off from here and it can come out there. But by the time it lands in your ears and then goes down to your heart, it can be quite different. It depends on your filter system. It depends on what you're prepared to receive. It also depends sometimes on what you think of the speaker. Now, in my case, I think you all know, you all love me to bits and you think I'm a totally amazing person and you know I've all got good for you, but it all depends on the speaker. Why is it sometimes when we go away to a conference, the guest speaker is no different from anywhere else, yet we expect to receive more and often do? Because our filters have changed. Last week we looked at Proverbs 18, verse 20 to 21. And it says this, it's this in New International Version. It says, from the fruit of our lips, a person's stomach is filled. And with the harvest of his lips, they are satisfied. Talk about what we eat, what we speak out will satisfy us. It fills us on the inside. And the harvest of our lips will be satisfied. And verse 21 says something really interesting. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. The New King James puts it this way. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say is actually got life and death in it. Whatever you say, everything we say has life or death. There's no middle ground. You're either speaking life to people or you're speaking death to people. You're either helping or frustrated. But what about that idle conversation that goes on? Well, even that, you've got to be so careful because there's still life and death in everything we speak. In fact, our tongue, your tongue, my tongue, is the thing that's got us to where we are now. Now, we can say God brought us here, and yes, there's a sense of God sets us on a path and his journey, but it's up to us where we walk on that path. It's up to us how far we go in life. But it's our tongue, believe it or not, that takes you places. It's not your abilities. It's not your giftings, your talents, it's your tongue. You're all looking at me like going, really? Okay, let's have a look at James 3, shall we? It starts off, James 3, verse 1. There's not many of you should become teachers, Well, that's messed us up already, Ben, because I'm there. My fellow believers, because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. It's easy to stand up and speak, some people think, but before God, those who teach, those who preach will be held accountable for everything we say. So I am not just responsible for my life as a person. I'm responsible for Joe. I'm responsible for my kids. And I'll be judged for everything I've taught you guys. So when I get to heaven, you guys will walk in and God will say, welcome, good and faithful servant. And then I'll come in and say, welcome, good and faithful servant. Oh, by the way, come here. I need to have a talk to you. Remember what you preached? Say, I've got to be so careful. If we're not preaching the word of God, then we're not really preaching at all. And verse 2, it says this, we all stumble in many ways. Underline that, because that refers to us all. We all stumble in many ways. Don't mean we fall, but we stumble. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect, able to keep his whole body in check. We looked at this last week. If you can keep your mouth under control, you can keep the rest of your body in check. I didn't say that. That's what James said. And I think James has a good point. Then he continues. He says, when we put a bit into the horse, into the mouth of a horse, we can make it obey us. When we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship, for example. Although it has such a large, it is, although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered with a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part in the body. It's interesting. It's now stating, as a bit is put in a horse's mouth, it can steer the horse. And as a ship is steered by the rudder, where the pilot wants to go, it's a little thing, is referring to the tongue. Likewise, the tongue is a small part. Your tongue steers your life. Your tongue steers your life. Again, I didn't say that. That's what James says. Okay? Okay, well, it's a small part in the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great fire is, sorry, a forest is set on fire by such a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It is corrupt, it can corrupt the whole body and set the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. Your tongue can set your whole life on fire. Okay, you're thinking, well, I don't really know where. Well, let's look at this way. Your tongue can get you into a lot of trouble. Yeah. Opening your mouth can get you into big problems. Your tongue determines your path and it determines your walk. And your tongue is the thing that gets you into trouble, but it's also the thing that can get you into blessing. It's on both sides of this. Well, it's not always concentrated on the negative. Verse 8, it says this. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's the restless evil full of deadly poison. He's not saying you can't control your own tongue. What he's saying is you cannot control somebody else's tongue. See, I can't control your tongue, but I can control mine. You can control your own. There's no point telling somebody else what they should and shouldn't say. You need to control his own tongue. With the tongue we praise the Lord, our Father, and with it we curse human beings, which have also been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both, and now he's going to make a couple of examples, can both salt water and fresh water flow out of the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can the fig tree bear olives or grapevines bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce good water. As believers in God, it should be unnatural for us to speak death. It should be unnatural to us as a person to speak out death. To the world, it's natural for them to do it. It's unnatural for them to speak life. But now we've been transported from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It should be natural speaking life, and it should be unnatural. It should almost take effort to speak death, because our nature on the inside has been changed. You are now in Christ. You've got his nature. And Jesus never spoke death to anything except to a tree that wasn't producing fruit when it were advertising fruit, and he cursed it and it died. He never spoke death over people. So it should be unnatural for us to speak out death into people's lives. It should go, ooh. It's almost like swearing in front of the pastor. It shocks you. It should shock you. It should shock you. When anybody ever does, none of you guys, but sometimes it happens, I get people go, oh, I'm really sorry. Like, I've never heard it before. I worked on a building site. Many years ago, a guy I was working with used to swear all the time. Swear at everybody. And his foreman, he was a painter, I was a scaffolder, and this foreman said, you're going to have to excuse him, because he knew I were a Christian. He said, you're going to have to excuse him, because he can't help it. He can't help it. He swears. It's a condition he's got. So we're working away, and he starts swearing at me. Blankety, blankety, blank, blank, blank. Johnny, blankety, blank, blank, blank. So I turned around, I got into his face about this far away. I said, you ever speak to me like that again, you'll know about it. And he looked at me, I said, where I come from, that's fighting talk. I probably didn't put it so politely. I didn't swear at him, but I got in his face. I said, where I come from, that's fighting talk. So do you want to fight? And he looked at me, so I jabbed him. I was a Christian, but I pushed him. I goes, where I come from, that's fighting talk. Do you want to fight? He goes, I can't help it. It's a condition. I goes, no, you can. And you ever speak to me like that again, I'll eat you with a bar, because I have a scaffold bar with me. I said, however, if you want me to do a job for you, just ask me. It's all right. I don't mind. He never swore again at me for 3 weeks. We're on that job. Yeah, everybody else he swore at, and nobody else was going, wow, what's happened to him? Because he could help it. Because it wasn't a condition. It was an excuse. Thinking you're going, there's some stuff comes out of my mouth, which is a problem. We'll look at that in a bit. So this guy said he couldn't help it. I was being facetious with him. I wasn't really going to hit him. It wouldn't have been good for my witness. But the fact is, I wasn't going to let him swear at me like he swore at everybody else. So the thing is, whatever is within us is what's going to come out of us. Except for carrots. Because you could go weeks and months without eating carrots, but when you're sick, there's always carrots there. So I don't know where they come from. I think they're stored inside you, don't for a while. But generally, what's in you comes out of you. If you eat apple pie and custard and you're sick, it comes back out. A bit mushed up, but it comes out. What's ever within your heart comes out of you when you speak. Everything that's in you is what comes out. Jesus said this. He says, for no good tree bears bad fruit. See, it's saying if you're good, you can't really bear bad fruit. So there's a problem there if you are. No, again, does a bad tree bear good fruit? So if somebody in the world cannot produce good fruit, and if somebody who's in God really shouldn't be producing bad fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from bramble bushes. A good person out of a good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasures produce evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's Luke 6, 43 to 45. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So whatever comes out of your mouth is what's in you. See, people said to me, they've brought the worst out on me. Why is it when some people get together, they annoy each other? No, if it's not in there, it's not going to come out. The person's only showing you what's in you. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but they're only showing you what's in you. Interesting. So, does it matter what we say? Yes. Oh, where are we? So I think I can say... Some people say to me, John, it's all right, I can just say what I want, it doesn't really matter. Bit of an attitude there, because in Psalms 12, verse 4, it says this, those who say, by our tongues we will prevail, and our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? Psalm 12, verse 4. Who is Lord over us? You see, the last time I checked as believers, we were bought at a price. We are not our own. Jesus is our Lord, and we should imitate him, and we should speak what he speaks. We should deliver what Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. And yet we make our own opinions up about a lot of things as believers. And we say things that are not quite true because it fits in with where the world's at, or we've just got these ideas. So does it matter what we say? And how much does it matter what we say? Well, it matters about life and death. We need to be careful what we pronounce and speak over people's lives, and especially young people, young kids, young people in Jesus. Does God hear what we say? Does he care about what we say? You see, some people have this idea that when you pray, you're over here, you're praying. I won't kneel down, but you know, whatever you do, you're praying to God. You're praying to God. And it's between you and God. And then you step away from prayer and you talk, and God's not listening to what you're talking about. Well, the thing is, if you're praying and I'm there, I can hear what you're praying. And when you talk, I can hear what you're saying. And God can hear what we're saying when we're praying or not praying. Prayer is only talking to God like you would talk to somebody else. To pray or to go into prayer is to communicate, to build a relationship up, to talk with. Some people like the idea of a certain place and a certain time and a certain posture. That's up to them. But the definition of prayer is really just to speak out words. Technically, it's not to think them in your mind, but that's another theological thing. If you want to pray in your mind, that's fine. But really, it's to speak out words. But does God care what we say? In Ezekiel 35, 13, King James Version, New King James, it says this. With your mouth, you have boasted against me and multiplied your words against me, and I have heard them. So these people were, in a sense, putting it in Yorkshire's, having a go at Jesus, having a go at God, slagging him off. And he heard them. He heard. New Living Translation says this. In saying that, you boast proudly against me, and I have heard it all. See, sometimes if you want to gossip about somebody, if you want to talk about somebody and they enter the room and you're aware of them being nearby, you shut up. You don't talk about them. You keep it quiet. You do the old wink, wink, shifty finger, foot in that roof. You do all the sign languages. But you've got to remember that Jesus is with us constantly. His Holy Spirit's with us. And he hears everything we say, whether good or bad. He's listening to us. God hears our prayers. And he hears our prayers, but he also hears when we speak to our wives. Okay, he hears when we say other things. Everyone goes, I didn't think he heard me when I talked to my wife. Yes, he does. And wives, he hears when you talk about the husband as well. What we say about him, what you say about God will determine what he says about you. It's an interesting idea, isn't it? You're all thinking, you know me mind now. You know I'm going to come out with some verses now, don't you? So what we say about God can determine what he says about me. Matthew 10, 32, 33 says this, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, let me just refer to the word confess. We've talked about it the other week. The word confess means to speak the same as. So when, therefore, whoever speaks the same as me before men, you're looking at me. You need to get into the Greek in that word confess. Confess does not mean sitting in a booth with a curtain saying, I have done, I have done, I have done. The word confess means, Lord Jesus, I am saved, and I confess it. Lord Jesus, I am healed, and I confess it. It's saying the same as the word of God. It's not sitting in a booth. So he says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will deny before my Heavenly Father in heaven. Now, I don't mean you're not saved or anything like that. But at the end of the day, if you confess what he says about you, he will stand up and go, Father, he's saying the same. But if we deny, to confess and to deny is to speak, isn't it? Yeah. It's to speak. So whatever we say, if we say in line with what Jesus says, it's like it gets the Father's attention. But when we don't say what Jesus says, the Father's looking at us going, what are you on about, son? What's really going on? See, Jesus, you know, people who say, you know, Jesus will never heal me. Then guess what? They'll never get healed. You need to line up your conversation with what the Word of God says. Some people I've heard them say, Johnny, I'll never get through this. Not with that attitude. We need to watch what we're confessing, what we're speaking out. You see, God hears everything that we say. Malachi 2, we're in the Old Testament now. Malachi 2, verse 17. See, everybody thinks Malachi is just about tithing, but there's a lot more in there. And it says this, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? And he says, in what you say. How can you weary God? See, God don't get tired. He don't get tired, but he gets weary. You know, have you ever been, you know, on a holiday, and you've been to the pool and you're sunbathing, you're laid out there, and there's a five-year-old son outside going, Mum, 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 for about 20 minutes till Mum goes, what? And they jump in, get back out and go, Mum, 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 Mum. And you can see parents just going, give me leave. Oh, come on. And then they jump in. And it goes on. And you just want to kick the kid in. You know, like, get on with it. You get weary. You get wearied. God gets wearied with what we say. When we're not speaking what he says, it wearies God. Because what we're really saying is our unbelief. If I want God, if I'm praying about something, I always go to the Word of God first, find some verses from the Bible, then I take them to God and remind God of what is written, stand on those verses, and then see God do what God's promised to do. I don't go whining to God about it. I go digging in the Bible, find out what God said about it, then go before God, and that's not wearying, that's exciting him, because that's faith. But we weary God complaining and just talking to him. You know, we keep going on about things. We keep going to God and just whining on about the same old thing. What can God do for us when we whine at him? What can God do for us? God help us. What's that really mean? God do something. What? You know, if my kids come in and say, I'm starving, do something, Dad. There's a fridge there and there's a cupboard. Help yourself. I'll cook some later. What do we do here? You know, we keep going on about what we think God should be doing. And we keep telling God what he should be doing. And God's looking at us going, I've given you everything you need for life. And godliness, I've done everything for you. But we're telling God what he should be doing. And God's looking at us going, huh? I've told you what to do. You know, people... And I'm not being disrespectful for anybody here, so we'll talk about somebody else. It's people who's going to watch me or listen to me later on. They just go, God help, God. No, God help me, God help me. You go to prayer meetings and they're going, God, please do something, please do something, please do something. And 100 times later, please do something, God. And you can see God going, what? What? Because there's no faith in that. There's no word of God in that. What? What do you want me to do? We need to go before him and say, God, your word says... God, I've got a need, and your word says that you will provide all my needs. God, I've got a sickness, and you said that you'll heal all my sins. God, I've got a financial need, and you said if I tithe, you will always give good grade. God, my kids are struggling. You said the children of the righteous will never beg for bread. Amen. I always tell God what he's already said, and it excites him because faith rises in me. Faith comes when we hear the words of Christ. Faith comes, it comes into us. It just envelops us. Anyway, Mark 11, 23, a verse that some of you know, Jesus speaking, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes in what he's saying, will come to pass, it will be done for him. And some people don't even like that, they don't even think it's in the Bible, but it's there. But sometimes we let's take away the mountain and just say a problem. We weary God sometimes with our problems. Because we talk about our problems. We think about our problems. We complain about our problems. We complain and tell people. We tell God about the problems. We go to him and we say it's prayer. But all we're doing is whining at him. And we're saying to Jesus, do something. And he's looking at us going, speak to the problem. Speak to the problem. It's foreign, is that, to most people. I ain't got time to really go through it, and I might have to do it. You need to discover everything Jesus did resulted in speaking. There's power of life and death in your words. Amen. Speaking it out. Yes. But I sound daft. When you're desperate enough, you're not bothered. No. Speak to it. No. When I had a kidney problem, I couldn't touch it. I couldn't put my hand on it. The doctor says, you know, your kidneys are failing, you're going to be in a serious problem. And I says, kidneys? I didn't know which one it was. Kidneys, we'll take both on. Work right. That's not very spiritual, is it? It's not very spiritual. You know, I should have prayed for 6 hours and fasted for 12 days. But I went, no, kidneys, in the name of Jesus, be healed. That were off different, weren't it? Doctors still don't know if they should discharge me because my kidneys have gone back to normal. One's gone back to right size. Well, other's still at the right size. It's gone back to where I was. But he can't see. I said, I prayed about this. He goes, I'm not sure, but something's happened. Yeah, sign me off, let me go. He didn't want to sign me off. Take another blood test, he says, just in case it drops again. I spoke to my kidneys in the name of Jesus. I speak to my knees in the name of Jesus. I've told you this before, and you think I'm daft. I speak to the germs that come on me in the name of Jesus. Die! You know what I mean? Antibodies, do what you're designed to do. Seek out and kill. You know, get out there. My diet's not amazing. So you can't say I've got such an healthy diet. I do okay. No, it's not brilliant. It's okay, you know, if it includes chocolate. But we can weary God sometimes because we talk about the problem instead of saying to the problem in the name of Jesus. Now, you don't have to stand on an hill, pretend you're Gandalf and swing a stick around. You know, you can just do it quietly. You don't have to shout. God's not deaf. Neither's the devil. You know, we don't have to scream and shout about it. Just say it as it is. Malachi 3, verse 13 and 14 says this, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve the Lord. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? What point is it, we could say? What's the point in speaking the word of God? What's the point in praying? What's the point in coming together as a family to seek God? What's the point when we never see anything? Now, we might not say that, but sometimes our actions seem to promote that. What's the point? What is the point? God never does out for us anyway. The thing is, he never will if we have that attitude. In Galatians 6, verse 9, it says this, and let's not grow weary while we are doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We celebrate when people reap and harvest. We celebrate when we call people, well, that were an overnight success. But we don't look at their life, but some of the overnight successes have taken 20 years overnight to have a success. We look at men and women of God and think, why, God's blessing them, but we don't see the fact they spent 20 years, 30 years unknown, just serving God quietly. We don't see it. He says, don't give up. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in speaking good. So does God listen to what we say? Is it important what we say?
Yes.
It is. So 3 points, and I'm just going to round up because time's flying again. I'll rush through these. So, what is the first thing we can do? Well, Proverbs 4:23 says this. Keep your heart with all diligence, or vigilance, should I say, for out of it flows the springs of life. Keep your heart. Guard your heart, it says in other translations. Protect what goes in. Put rubbish in, get rubbish out. Put good in, get good out. Whatever seeds you sow into your heart will grow. And if it's sowing good seeds, it's because you put good seeds in there. If it's sowing bad, then it's bad stuff. But the set of CDs down here is called Gardening the Heart. If you have got bad things in your heart, you need to get those CDs. Have a listen to them. It's not mine, it's Dwayne. And he talks about gardening your heart. Not gardening, but gardening. If you leave a garden, flowers do not naturally grow back. Weeds do. Why is it you turn your back and suddenly weeds pop up? Flowers don't. They struggle. And it's the same in our heart. If we're not guarding our heart, if we're not preparing our heart and keeping it, then we need to be careful and then weed out the rubbish. I put a question down here. What do you believe happens when you speak? It's a rhetorical, you can think about it. What do you believe happens when you speak? Because if you believe nothing happens, yet the Bible tells us that there is power of life and death. If you're facing a trial and tribulation, you need to be very careful what you speak out of your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth can determine how long you sit and travel through that problem. It can determine a lot of factors. Proverbs 10:11 says this, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." Our mouths should be a fountain of life naturally. We should speak life to people. We should be encouraging, building up, strengthening. Proverbs 10:20 says this, "The tongue of the righteous," and remember that you are the righteous of God in Christ, so the tongue of the righteous, tongue is choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is of little worth. So what can we do about our mouths? I've been digging through the Bible, guys, and I come across something that, if we can get hold of it, it will radically change your entire life. You know, I'm going to tell you something now, and I don't know if we're all ready for it. I don't know if it's too much for some people to handle. It might be too high or too spiritual for some, but I need you to see this. Because if you can get hold of this, it could save your life. That's how serious it is. Right, who's got a Bible? Wave up, hello, hello, anyone got a Bible? Okay, you need to turn it to it now. So Proverbs 10, if you just want to turn there. I'm hoping you're ready for this. I hope you're mature enough, spiritual enough to take on what I'm just about to say. Okay, you're all looking a bit, what's going on here? Because this is going to help you. Proverbs 10. So does it matter what you say? Yes. And does God listen to what you say? Yes. So get a pen and look down Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Now if you can get hold of it, now it might be a bit spiritual for some, but if you can get hold of it, it'll save your life. "In the multitude of words," it says, "sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise." New King James Version. The New Living Translation puts it in a way that I think we may be able to understand a little bit better. "Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut." Okay, are we spiritual enough to understand what that says? If you rab it on, it leads to sin. If you keep it shut, be sensible. Keep it shut. I could stop there, but you're all looking at me like going, rabbits in the headlight. I'm waiting for a great, profound statement. That's the statement. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. You're all thinking, well, it says too much talk leads to sin. Your mouth is what gets you into trouble. Your mouth is what causes curses into other people's lives, or life or death. If you're going to speak something, then speak it with love and speak life into people's hearts. You're all looking at me going, oh, that were a bit of a run-up for nothing. But it's true. If you can hold your mouth, it will save your life. It does say in Proverbs that even a fool looks smart if he keeps his mouth shut. See, I can't because I've got to preach. It's a bit hard for me. So you just take me as it comes. Okay, James says this, James 1:19. It says, "Understand this, my dear brothers. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." He's saying the same thing. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. There's more. There's something else that I found in the Bible which I thought was quite interesting. Proverbs 15 and verse 28. And this again is the New King James Version. So that's Proverbs 15 verse 28. It says this, "The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil." The heart of the righteous studies to answer. In other words, they check things out for themselves first. Have you ever gone into a conversation, what we call half-cocked? You've heard part of it and you've jumped in, and then realizing that it's not what you thought it was. Because suddenly it's like, oh, because you didn't hear the whole conversation. You didn't find out what the whole thing was about. The heart of the righteous studies to answer. And I believe that's more than just checking things. I think it means studying the Word of God. When we pray, we should be studying the Word of God, to pray to God the Word of God. Now, he knows the Word of God, but I'll tell you this, I think he likes it when we're studying his Word, when we're checking it out for ourselves, when we're in there. So the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil. So we need to study the Word. We need the Word in and the Word out. Life in, life out. If nothing goes in, death comes out. Because again, if you leave the garden, the weeds grow. But if you're constantly preparing and gardening the garden of the heart, then everything can grow like it should. Joyce Meyer says this, and I like this. Don't underestimate the power of your words today. Line up your language with the heart of God and enjoy the sweet delights healing it brings. Line our words up with the heart of God. And really all I'm saying to every one of us, and including myself, and I'm not saying I've arrived. My mouth's got me into trouble a lot of times. And we've all been there. But we need to line our language, the things we say, up with the Word of God. We need to line our lives up with the Word of God. And guys, if you think you don't need to because you're so spiritual, then that's okay. Live your life like you want to. But I think there's truths we can pull out. And whenever we talk about the mouth, like I said, first thing, it all depends on our filters. When I talk about speaking into things, it's our filters. If you've heard certain extremes on these, it's a filter. If you've never heard it before, it's a filter. Well, we always go to God. It's true. But Jesus spent time with God, praying, and then when he was walking, he didn't go, oh, the possessed guy, just wait 2 minutes, I'm off to prayer. No, he spent time with God, got the heart of God. So when he saw somebody who was demon-possessed, he knew the heart of God was to have that person released from that demon. He didn't ask whether it was the will of God or whether God wanted him to do it now. He knew the heart of God from the praying overnight, and he'd walk into that situation and say, out right now. That were it. When he came across somebody who was sick, he didn't go and say, I wonder if this is God's will. I wonder if it's because of this, that, over. Jesus was a man. He was a 100% man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, which means he was like us. See, some people have this concept that Jesus had a connection to heaven, like a telephone. It just like, hello, he was shouting up and down. Jesus had to spend time with the Father. Have you ever wondered why when they brought the woman caught in adultery out, and they said, should we stone her or should we let her go? Stone her, let her go. And Jesus knelt down and started writing. Now people say, well, might have been writing something. I just think he was taking the time out. He knelt down and says, Father, what should I do in this situation? Father, what should I answer in this situation? And the Holy Spirit came alive and just said, he without sin cast the first stone. James Version. But the person who hasn't sinned, let him be the first. So Jesus stood up and he said that. Totally floored them all because they wanted a stone. But if he said, no, don't stone her, then they go, you're going against the law. It were a no-win situation. And there's things in our lives where we just need that moment. Guys, it's not going to change anything if you say, just give us a minute and I'll answer it. Just give us a couple of minutes and then I'll answer that. No, because we need it now. People want to put us under pressure. Respond, respond, respond. No, sometimes we've got to take time out. And Jesus not only saved her life, but radically changed her life and set her free from that lifestyle. But he didn't run away going, I wonder what I should do. He just knelt, he prayed for a moment. And sometimes just do that, take a moment. But we've got to understand that it's power of life and power of death in what you say. And if you're a person that holds your words securely, speaking just words of life, they'll be few. But it says that the wicked person spews them out. a fountain of words. People say, I can't help it. It's just, some people have got to tell you what they're feeling. Some people's got to tell you what they think. At least give it a minute. They've just got to let it go. Well, I totally disagree. Well, that's interesting, but so what? I've had people totally disagree. I had some Christians, I actually quoted the Bible, but I didn't say chapter and verse, and one of them said, I totally disagree with that. I goes, well, actually, Jesus said that. He goes, Jesus would not say that. I goes, it said it in so-and-so. He goes, no, it don't. So we got a Bible out. He went, I don't like your translation. Because we get fixed filters in our minds of what we can accept. Instead of saying, God, if it's your word, I'm going to accept it. Because end of the day, we need to check things out for ourselves, but we need to study to answer. Don't be so quick to answer. I mean, if there's a copper knocking on your door, do answer. It might kick it down. But when you're talking with people, speak life. Speak encouragement. And build. Because I love it when people encourage me and build me. And therefore, I want to encourage and build other people. But if someone's really negative all the time, I tend to back off. Because I don't want, one thing, I don't want them speaking to my life. And two, I don't want them spewing this stuff up on me. I want to be around people, but I will go talk and encourage some people. But there's others I just back off from because there's no change in their hearts. So anyway, so what can we do? Does it matter what we say? Yeah. It does. So let us be people who speak few words and people that listen, not just to the conversation, but to what God's saying. Because one of the hardest things to do, especially if it's you're getting into conflict, there's a set of CDs, there's none left, and I'm going to copy them, called The Process of Forgiveness. And I don't want to get into this, but pause the sermon, advert, bring it back. If you've ever been hurt, if you've ever had an issue with somebody, that set of CDs, especially CD3 and CD6, will totally change your perspective on stuff. Whoever's got them, copy them, bring them back, let's pass them around. It will totally change. And the reason why we have a problem speaking and the stuff that comes out is because we're hurt on the inside because we've not forgiven something or someone in our life. So we're hurting, so we spew out hurt into people. Now we blame our husbands and our wives, we blame the kids, we blame the cat, we blame whoever. But the bottom line is we're hurt on the inside. And sometimes some people need professional help. And that's not derogative. Some people do need some professional help. Some people just need to get before God, repent and forgive. And just put it there. So anyway, that's the CDs, we'll get them. So what I'm saying is, we just need to be careful what we say. So when we go upstairs for us cups of tea now, if nobody's speaking to anybody, that just means you've nothing good to say. Think something good. Oh, I just want to say to you, don't flatter people, but say something. Why not try in the next half an hour to think of a Bible verse to give to somebody? I'm not saying a word from God, but just give them a verse. How's that sound? And if you can't think of it, check out Ephesians 3:20. Check it out. And maybe just speak some life into somebody. I don't know what I can say. I'll just say a verse to you. But be blessed, guys, because God's blessed us so much. He's given us so much. He's given us life, and he's given us the ability to speak life into other people and life into yourself. Look in the mirror. Say, you gorgeous person. Good looks are perspective, aren't they? You know what I mean? Just look at yourself and just say, you mighty man or woman of God. Look at yourself and just find some verses and read them over your life. You are more than a conqueror. But I'm giving up now. No, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm going to fight to the end. It'll either kill me or I'll kill it. But at the end of the day, I'll be in heaven. Who cares? Let's go for it. whatever you're doing, don't tolerate what the devil's done. Speak to it. You know, devil, get out. Get out of this situation. Sickness, get out. Problem, get out. Finances, get in. You know, whatever job I need, one, God, I'm speaking to that job. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get that promotion, whatever it might be. If you can believe it, it's read Matthew 21, 21. That's an interesting one for yourselves. Matthew 21, 21. Praying, believing, standing, trusting. Anyway, I'm stopping because my words are getting many and we don't want to sin, as the proverb goes. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to our hearts, and I pray right now that that seed will plant deep into our lives. Lord, that it will grow and that we may understand the power of our speech. Lord, how cutting we can be. Lord, how sharp and how, Lord, hurtful we can be with the knife that we call our tongue. Lord, I pray that we will guard our hearts and that we will treat others, Jesus, the way you treat us. Lord, we do not deserve any good thing from you. And people sometimes don't deserve anything from us. Yet, Lord, you poured out so much love and grace and favor and mercy upon our lives. And in respect and to reflect that, Lord, what else can we do but to show that grace, love, mercy, Lord, to other people? Help me, Lord, to guard my tongue, Lord, and to guard my mouth. And I pray right now that, Lord, we will understand your word more clearly as we seek your face daily. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 That's the warm-up for tonight.